I think I mentioned this morning that we were going to be talking about dating tonight, and I want us to go back and once again read the passage that York read for us at the beginning. It sure won't hurt us to read this one twice. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. And there's a reason why we're beginning with this passage, because these are some really great words to remember at all times, but since it is directed to young people in particular, it's good to remember while you're dating. How can a young man cleanse his way? The answer is pretty straightforward. By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. You sure don't want to do that while you're on a date, do you? Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And so, the idea, of course, is to be so equipped with the Word of God, with every possible principle found therein, so that we can keep from sinning. Now again, this has broad application, but let's apply it especially to dating. Now you see the question up on the screen. It asks the question, going on a date. And here's really one of the ways in which to reply to that. That is, if you're going on a date, you need to take God with you. Make sure you take God with you when you go on a date. Now, I realize that He's going to be there anyway, right? He is going to be there. He's going to be watching, right, everything that you say, everything that you do, and everything that you think. He's going to be there at the movie theater with you. He's going to be there in the car. He's going to be observing carefully all that's said and done. But He's also there to help, right? God is near to us, and He's near to us to provide help for us. Are there going to be temptations associated with dating? Absolutely. Is God there to help you overcome those temptations? Indeed, He is. But one of the senses, though, that we mean when we say take God with you is, take everything you know that God has said with you. Okay? That's another way in which you take God with you. Every principle that you can think of, every principle that you can study, every principle that relates to this in any way, take all that with you. And why? Well, according to Psalms 119, the passage we read earlier, that's what will cleanse your way. That's what will keep you from sin, is to take those principles and lay them up in your heart. We know that dating can be a very dangerous time. Mistakes can be made. Mistakes can be made that have lasting consequences. But for the first part of the lesson, I don't want us to think just about the negatives and the dangers and so forth. Let's talk for a few minutes about the positives of dating, and there are plenty of those. First of all, dating can be a lot of fun. Is God opposed to fun? I mean, some people would have us believe that He is opposed to fun, but He's not at all, provided we stay within the limits of behavior that He has established for us. But He's not opposed to fun in any way. You can develop some good friendships, which obviously can be mutually beneficial. You may date certain people that you don't wind up marrying, but you may develop a good friendship with them, and one that will last perhaps even a lifetime. Proverbs has quite a bit to say about the value of friendship. Have you studied those passages before? Well, you might just have some of those kind of friends develop through the dating that you do. You also will gain a better understanding of the opposite sex. And that will serve you very well when you decide to get married one day. I'm sure that many of us are familiar with the admonition directed to husbands in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. It says, husbands, dwell with your wives with, do you remember, with understanding. Well, I'm not sure everything that's involved in that, but I think one of the applications of that is you dwell with her with an understanding of her. You need to have an understanding of her and how unique she is. And there are differences between the sexes, right? And it's important for a husband to realize that, a wife to realize that. And so, during the years of dating, we certainly get a better idea of that. You also will learn how you react to certain traits in those whom you date, which obviously will be very helpful because this will help you decide the kind of person that you're looking for in a marriage companion. You'll also learn how others react to the traits that you have. In other words, you may do some things, say some things that really annoy people. You may say and do some things that whomever you're dating corrects you about. And really what we're getting around to is dating, if it is used wisely, can be turned into a self-improvement course. You may get better spiritually through all of this if you pay attention to how others react to the things that you see in them. So again, quite a few positives that we could discuss in terms of dating. But let's look at some rules of dating, some principles that God has laid down for us to observe during these times of dating. First of all, don't go to the door looking like this fellow right here. That's not going to go well, but looking past that. First of all, respect your parents' rules and warnings. Your parents are in charge of this whole thing, right? Your parents are in charge. God put them in charge. And that relates to this whole deal too. So just be aware of that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Just to strengthen that, obviously, with Scripture here. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now I can see a young person reading that and totally misinterpreting that passage. See there? They're like a chain. Well, that's not what it means. Like they're dragging you down. It's talking about things that would make you more attractive. We're talking about things that would beautify you, make you, your appearance better. That's the idea behind it. In other words, your life will be better. It will be more attractive if you listen to what your mama and daddy have to say. And certainly, you need to listen to them on this. They've been around a lot longer than you have. And they're better able to recognize some of the dangers, especially in dating. They've been around long enough to see the consequences that come with certain behaviors and with certain decisions. In other words, they're a lot better at seeing the end of a thing than you are. And so you just need to know that going in. I don't think your parents are going to give you some kind of instruction on this that's just meant to do nothing but keep you from having fun. No, they're looking out for you. They're trying to keep you safe spiritually. So just to be a little bit more specific about that, don't get upset when they put limits on you. When they give you a curfew, a time to be in, there's a good reason for that. Now, it may be different than what some of your friends at school have. You may have to be in earlier than they do. But that's okay, because that's what your parents think is best. They may put restrictions on places you can go. And again, that's all right too. They may place restrictions on the age you can date, and it may seem a little bit unreasonable to you. But again, they're in charge of this. We've got to be sure that we listen to them. I guess the bottom line to this is there's a couple of different ways you can go about this. You can make this a battle. You can make this a battle between you and your parents through your entire teenage years. Now, who's going to be happy with that? You're going to be miserable. They're going to be miserable. There's going to be tension always in the household. And it's hard for anybody to thrive in a situation like this. Or you can do what the Lord says and be submissive to your parents and to the warnings that they issue in all of this. They are called guardians for a reason. They're guarding you. They're God-appointed guardians. They're watchmen that we've been talking about in Ezekiel. They're watchmen. They're perched on top of that wall, and they're looking out for dangers. They're looking out for the enemy. They're looking out for things that might hurt you. And so be very, very respectful of the restrictions, the warnings that they give in all of this. All right, number two. And we're going to have to kind of give a little bit of a disclaimer to this. Do not feel pressured to have a steady boyfriend or girlfriend. Now, I don't have a scripture that would establish this as some kind of God-given rule. Okay, I want to make that extremely clear. We're talking about a clear matter of judgment. Now, the only scripture possibly that this could be put under is what we just observed in Proverbs. In other words, your parents, kind of having some experience of their own and seeing a lot of different situations that have happened with different people, okay, they may see some problems here. And so it may very well fit into the category we just talked about. But your identity is not tied up in having a steady boyfriend or a girlfriend. Have we not known those who could not go more than a week or two without somebody, you know, that, you know, they had under their arm? It's like, you know, I'm nothing. It's like I don't have any life if I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. All we're trying to suggest is don't fall into a trap thinking about that. It may give you a secure feeling to always have that steady boyfriend or girlfriend, but it can also be quite suffocating. Just to kind of sort of look ahead and see some dangers, perhaps, of just dating that one person, the longer it goes, the harder it is to break off. In other words, sometimes in our interest of just having that steady, we stick with someone and we've had all kinds of warning signs that this is not the one. There have been warning signs after warning signs, but you don't think there's any other prospects down the road, so I better stick with this person. There's some comfort, there's some security here, and you wind up staying with someone that really you should have broken off that relationship because it's something that's harming you spiritually. Sometimes with that same situation, you become too familiar with each other. You know what can happen when you become too familiar with each other? You kind of loosen the restraints a little bit, and some things can happen. You don't get the benefits of seeing different traits in different people, which can be certainly very helpful. Again, we're not saying that there's anything biblical about this. We're not trying to lay down some law here. There have been people who have met that one person, started dating them, everything worked out beautifully. We're talking about two strong Christians here. They got married. They never saw anybody else. They never dated anybody else. And they have lived happily ever after. And so that's wonderful. But when we're talking about a subject like this, we got to be really alert to situations, to things that could cause some problems, that might weaken us, that could be dangerous spiritually. And so we're just trying to cover all of our bases here. Number three, do not be flirtatious in order to get a date. Now you see the passages up here from Proverbs. We're not going to take the time to read all of these. You can turn and read them very quickly if you'd like. I'll tell you, they really essentially all say the same thing. They're all talking about a seductress who flatters with her words. Now, we're not trying to suggest that any of you would be put in the very same category as the woman described in those verses. But here's someone who knows just what to say to the fellas. She knows just what to say. She knows just how to charm them. She knows just how to talk them into doing just whatever. And again, sometimes even Christians can fall into what they might consider this innocent flirtations and so forth. And, well, there's a danger in that. First of all, we do have to take seriously the description that's given of a godly woman in 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. It describes her as having a meek and quiet spirit. Now, to me, that's different than forward and flirtatious. Forward and flirtatious is not meek and quiet. But another problem you have with this is, if that's how you get a date, you've just changed the playing field. In other words, if you get the date by being flirtatious, being a little bit forward, we might as well just go ahead and say it. Here's how guys think. Their expectations now have changed a little bit. And guess what it is that they might be expecting? Now, that might have been the last thing on your mind. You never, ever would have intended to put that thought in their mind. But nevertheless, that may be exactly what you have done. The best thing to do is to be who you are. Just be who you are. And hopefully who you are is a strong Christian. And so just act like one. And if someone then asks you out, you can be very confident then about the reasons that they're asking you out. And you can be a whole lot more relaxed about their expectations of you. Because you're being what you're supposed to be. You're living like Christ would have you to live. And so you can go into that with the right kind of confidence, right? Another principle we need to observe is be careful about who you go out with. This, of course, ought to be one of the more obvious things. Proverbs 12 and verse 26. Let's just remind ourselves of a couple of passages that warn about our companions. Proverbs 12, in verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And then, of course, back in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 33, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. So, your first choice then, when you're trying to decide whom you might date, is what? Your first choice is a strong Christian, right? Now, obviously there are situations where people during their dating years, they aren't around very many Christians at all. That hasn't necessarily been the case here, although sometimes it's you kind of look with a little bit of contempt on the ones closest to you. You know, the grass is always greener kind of thing. There are those who are nearer to the kingdom than others are. Jesus made that statement about a man in Mark 12 and verse 34. He says, you are not far from the kingdom. And when we're looking at people out in the world, yes, there is a difference. You know, I say, well, they're still in the world, and that's right. If they're still in the world, they're still lost. I get that. But there are some who are dearer to the kingdom in terms of their disposition toward hearing the truth. Their attitude toward receiving the truth is much different than it would be for others. Now, I want to be careful here because you're never going to hear me recommend that you date someone who's not a Christian. I cannot in good conscience recommend that. Okay? Even if I have confidence that this person has a good disposition, I'm not going to recommend that. But at the same time, I'm not going to say that that's wrong. You may date this person who's not far from the kingdom. It's happened many times before. You may be able to study with them, convert them, and they may turn out to be one of the finest Christians that any of us could ever possibly know. So realizing that prospect, I'm not going to put the quietus on it. And yet, because of the dangers that are still there, I can't recommend it at the same time. But here's the thing. Even if you date a Christian, you could run into some problems. That's why we said earlier, a strong Christian. There are some red flags that you ought to be looking for. I think one would be immorality. If someone is bent on immorality and don't really have a whole lot of penitence about their immorality, that's a major red flag, isn't it? Don't need to be going out with somebody like that. What if they've got a really quick temper? What if they kind of constantly raising their voice or maybe even have gotten to a point where you said something and they kind of like, you know, almost like pulled back like, boy, it's a big red flag, isn't it? That quick temper can get you and that person in a lot of trouble. Some people are excessively jealous, excessively envious. And again, I understand that, because I try to put myself back at that time, and I think about the immaturity that was in me and all the areas in which I just needed so much growth. We're not trying to suggest that, you know, you're looking for that fully grown, mature Christian, that you're not going to find that at 16, whatever the case may be. And yet there are things that ought to bother you. There are things that are bothersome to God and also ought to be bothersome to us. You know, sometimes you may be wanting to go out with somebody and there may be people and it may be your parents. And sometimes your parents may not even know, but there may be people that come up to you and they may just say something real vaguely like, well, you know he's got a pretty bad reputation. Or she's got a pretty bad reputation. I'm not saying that you necessarily swallow that hook, line, and sinker. But we are trying to say this. This is not something you take a whole lot of chances with. When somebody is alone with you in a car, speaking especially of a young lady who's maybe being driven somewhere by a young man, and he has control over where he takes you and so forth, you're taking a big chance, are you not? If we're talking about somebody who has this reputation, just need to be extremely careful about it. When somebody asks you to go out with them, you've got two options. You can say yes, or you can say no. And no is certainly an option, isn't it? If you don't want to, if you feel uneasy about it, if you've got questions, things that bother you, if you've been warned by other people, you can always say no. Hey, if you learn later that all of that is completely wrong and this person's what he ought to be, then okay. Yeah, things can change. All right, number five. Be careful about where you go. Be careful about where you go. I guess it still is the case that going to a movie is a very popular thing to do on a date. I guess that's still the same as it used to be. Lynn and I like to go to movies on occasion. And a lot of weeks I'll look to see what's out. And then I'll look to see kind of the parental review of these movies and so forth. And there's a lot of weeks we can't go see a movie. You know, there's just not many that are clean. And you got to be really careful about that. You see a movie together, and maybe it has some kind of somewhat explicit scenes, or at least very suggestive scenes. You're sitting there close to each other. You know, earlier we talked about things that can loosen the restraints a little bit. That can certainly loosen the restraints too. What about going to either of your parents' homes when no one else is at home? Is there a law against that? I haven't read anywhere in Scripture where it says, hey, young people, don't ever go to your parents' home if nobody else is there if you're on a date. Boy, that just screams danger, doesn't it? The passage that we've talked about so many times, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. We gotta look around the corner sometimes. We've got to see the dangers. That's exactly where, let's just go ahead and be honest, that's exactly where a lot of people have lost their virginity, is in a secluded place like that, in the comfort of one of the parents' homes. A parked car in a secluded spot where it's very, very unlikely for anybody else to come upon you. Same kind of danger, right? Nothing special about the home. Well, I mean, there's some comfort level, I guess, there, but that same situation can play out in other places as well. Again, remember this passage. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Look to see the dangers of something. Number 6, do not wear anything provocative. Dress modestly. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. Number of passages. We've talked about this a little bit in some recent lessons, but in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, before we go any further, is it possible for a man, for a young man on a date, to be wearing something that could be suggestive? Absolutely. Okay. So let's don't just apply it to the women, but here's the thing. If something's a little bit tight, if something's a little bit short, if something can be easily seen through, again, your intentions may be as pure as the driven snow. You just liked the outfit. You just thought it looked good. You had no desire to stir up anything in anybody. And yet, we still have to come to grips with the fact that if we have something like that on, that person's thoughts right next to us is going to be kind of centered on all of that. Hey, should it be that way? Should he be able to push all of that? Oh, yeah. You say, well, I can't be accountable for what somebody else thinks. Well, here's the thing. He's accountable for what he thinks, absolutely. But you are too, because you're being a something. And the thing is, you had other options. You had other options. You could have dressed in a manner befitting what we read earlier in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Number 7, practice the golden rule. You know what that is, right? As it's expressed in Matthew 7 and verse 12, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. I kind of like when people are kind to me. I really, really appreciate it. And so let's be kind to them back. I like when people are polite to me. I'm going to be polite to them. I like for people to be very considerate. And so I'm going to be considerate. So all of these things. You know the kind of treatment that you enjoy, and so let's go out and let's treat others in the very same way. Be honest. Boy, you sure don't like being lied to, do you? You sure don't like being deceived in any way. And so we're not about to play that game ourselves. We're going to be honest. We're not going to give the wrong impression. We're not going to make promises that we can't keep. And I know all of these have a general application, but we're specifically applying these in terms of dating. Dates get talked about, don't they? Don't they? I've always been impressed by the passage in Proverbs 20 and verse 11 that says, even a child is known by his deeds. Even a child is known by his deeds. The person you go out with, you know, you may be sworn to secrecy or whatever, and people may be trying to get information out of you, and you may decide, well, no, I'm not going to say a word about it. Oh, come on, tell me how it was. You can't be sure that the other person's going to do that, especially if you've done something that particularly bothered them. Your reputation is at stake. A good name, what does Proverbs tell us? A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Can you lose your good name by the way you conduct yourself on a date? Absolutely. And so just realize that it's going to get out there. There's going to be some information that's kind of broadcast. You want that information to be good. And then there are those painful breakups. Boy, they sure can be painful. And so what's the temptation? The temptation is to return to evil for evil, right? I'll get them back. I don't plan to ever speak to them again. I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes when it comes to this dating thing, we forget all about some of those principles. Like, you know, return good for evil, heap coals of fire on their head, love your enemies. Of course, we want to continue to be respectful. And even sometimes we get to a point where somebody breaks up with us and we begin to say bad things about them to kind of justify, well, I had no interest in them anyway. Let me just tell you how they were and all that. And we start making up stuff. In other words, we can handle all that very poorly if we're not careful. We can do some things that are unbecoming of a Christian. And we want to avoid that. Number 8, exercise self-control. There will be times, let's just go ahead and say it, there will be times when you will want to go further than you should. Right? And boy, that self-control is going to be really important at that point, right? And please, don't any of us subscribe to the myth that it's only a sin when you go all the way. That's a myth. Study that term, lasciviousness. And some of the other terms very similar to that in the New Testament. And I believe you'll come away with the same conclusion. That is, you don't have to go all the way for it to be sin. Girls, if you tell a boy to stop, and he keeps pressing the issue, or he gets mad at you, what do you think you ought to do? Seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Do not go out with him again. That's not the kind of person you want to be with. Probably a really good idea. In fact, it most certainly is a good idea. In these dating years, to learn a variety of ways to have fun on a date that do not involve making out. right? Learn a whole bunch of different ways to have fun. Because if the relationship becomes almost entirely physical, you really don't have much of a relationship at all, do you? It's just physical. That's it. But if you learn to talk with each other, do other things together, explore one another's interest in different things together, okay, now, all right, we've got more of a relationship developing here, right? Not much of a relationship when it's entirely physical. Here are some good passages to remember. Let me just throw these out very quickly. Keep yourself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22. Flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Now, one other point we'll make here. Do not compromise biblical truth. As we said earlier, there may be those that you date who are not Christians. And really, the point we're about to make might apply, unfortunately, even to some Christians. But there are going to be some people who don't take too seriously. Well, look at 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Following the pattern laid down in Scripture, strictly obeying the word of the Lord. A lot of people that don't take that very seriously. And please understand, if you're dating someone who's in a denomination, if you are dating someone who is in a denomination, they're in something that God does not approve of. Okay? They are a part of something that is not approved of by God in the New Testament. And that needs to change, right? Well, sometimes they're going to insist on their way of thinking, or they're going to ask you to kind of meet them in the middle. Well, we agree on this, but now over here, and so maybe there's somewhere we could go that, or maybe there's a way we could kind of meet in the middle on some of these things. Now, that's happened to a lot of people. I know some people in my extended family that have done exactly that same thing. And so what they have become is just wishy-washy about the whole thing. They're just sort of, you know, halfway committed and so forth. And that's not going to be any good, is it? What we know is right, we got to stand for it. Now, we want to be patient and try to teach someone, certainly. I'm all for that. And yet, if over a period of time, someone says, well, you know what, I just don't see that, or I don't agree with that, eventually there's going to have to be a parting of the ways. I want to mention one other thing real quick, and I meant to mention this earlier. We were talking about places to go. Be careful about the places where you go. There's one place that's real good to have a date. You know what that is? It's at services. Sometimes you meet somebody at the gospel meeting or wherever the case may be. It's a good place. But when you have a date that involves going to services, that's different than being a movie, isn't it? It's different than being at a ball game. It's different than being in really any other place. What are you there for? You're there to worship God. God's not giving you a pass because it's a date, so I'll tell you what, y'all just make eyes at each other the whole time. Y'all put your arms around each other and you know, and kind of just sort of, you know, make this a, well, sometimes too physical thing. No, you're there to worship God. So that's a different situation altogether. And one other thing that I'll mention as well, I keep thinking of all these other thoughts to throw in there, but We mentioned earlier about how sometimes in certain places there's not a whole lot of Christians around. I would encourage all of our parents here is to, if that be the case, if Auburn's having a gospel meeting, if Auburn's having some kind of special study, if one of the churches up in the Birmingham area is having one, do all that you can to get your children to all of these different places. Let them meet as many young Christians as they possibly can. And it doesn't always have to be in the interest of finding someone to date, just making some new friends. But sometimes you do meet someone in places like that. And so I would certainly encourage parents to do that sort of thing. Go ahead and get out your song book if you haven't already. If you are prepared tonight to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, maybe you've been thinking about it a while and it's always so difficult. You know, sometimes people will surprise you. You know, you didn't know that they were so close and that these things were weighing so heavy on their mind. And if that's the case tonight, please don't let anything else hinder you. We'll certainly be prepared to assist you with that or to come back to the Lord. If we can help you in any way, let it be known as we stand and sing.